Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, our study is seated in the truth that Jesus cares about our rest. You know that? He cares about our rest. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Pray you're hearing me right now, because this is an important part of this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today. This concern, this desire, this longing that Jesus has over us in our rest. That is our freedom from anxiety, freedom from fear, freedom from struggle, freedom from turmoil. Even in the midst of struggle and turmoil and difficulty. This, my friends, is what sets us apart as the people of God. The fact that our Lord makes a provision that in the midst of trouble, He gives us peace and rest. That's one of the reasons why we worship Him. Come on. You know, what I'm saying is that song that we just sang is a reality in our lives, or should be a reality in our lives, because of what He does in us. I come to worship the Lord this morning, not just because somebody told me to, not just because somebody's singing a song about it, but because the one who sees the turmoil that our lives are in has made a provision for us to walk and live in peace in the midst of all the trouble. Hallelujah. And my goodness, if you can't see the trouble that's around us, we need to get you a new pair of glasses or contacts or something. Because it's all around us. We're in John chapter 16. We're going to start reading this morning at verse number 16. John's Gospel, 16th chapter, 16th verse. Are you ready? I love seeing you searching God's Word to find the text. I love it. Just does your old pastor's heart good. I mean it. Because see, here's what I've realized. This will be the power that brings the peace. It is. In a little while, Jesus said, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. It almost sounds like a riddle. Verse 17, then some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean, saying, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? Because I'm going to the Father. They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. Jesus saw what they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I mean when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that the child is born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again. And you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Ah, you believe at last," Jesus answered. "But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Amen. Praise the Lord. This passage of Scripture divides into three portions here, and I want to illuminate those portions to you and with you. I did a little... Anyway, to maybe help you remember it, the first part are admonitions. The second part is apocalyptic. And the third part is assurance. Now, I'm going to push through these pretty fast this morning because I want to make an application of what Jesus said to the 11. If you've been with us on this journey in the last few weeks that we've been preaching, you would perhaps remember that I said Jesus concluded in the upper room and they began to make the journey toward Gethsemane. And this chapter seems to have been spoken to the disciples as they're on their way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. To kind of get in the moment there, if you would. It was night. The disciples obviously were accustomed to going to Gethsemane to pray. This was not a new thing or a foreign thing. We have nothing in any of the Gospels that even alludes to the fact that they may have been confused about what was going on. So it speaks to us that this was a regular occurrence for them, that they would often end their day in a place of prayer in Gethsemane. But now they're on this journey, and actually by the time this passage is spoken, they may even be in that garden. I want you to see for a moment the kind of love that Jesus had for them. There are different views of this passage. But I believe that the most accepted view is the easiest one for us to grab a hold of, that the time period that Jesus is referring to will be his death and then his resurrection and the time in between. He's letting them know in advance that this is coming. And then that's love. Hear me? That's love. Although the words are difficult, although the subject matter they don't even really understand, they're struggling to get their minds around it because They can't see what's about to happen. You and I, standing on this side, reading it, we go, oh yeah, yeah. Well, he's going to the cross. And they're gonna run away from him, and they're gonna be bewildered, and they're gonna grieve, and they're gonna mourn. And then the third day, what happens? Come on. On the third day, he rises from the dead, and their grief turns to joy, and they never get over it the rest of their lives. Now see, they couldn't see that. And so when he starts talking about this, and he says to them, now fellas, you're going to see me, then you're not going to see me, and then you're going to see me. How many realize that that would be a little bit confusing if you would have been one of them? You know, these guys have been with him now for 3 years, walking, doing ministry, seeing incredible miracles take place. They know that whenever he speaks, his words do not fall to the ground. They're powerful words. So they're saying among themselves, we're missing something here. Don't really know what it is, but we're missing something very, very special, very spectacular here. Now see, that's still possible here in this room. For the Spirit of the Lord to speak something in and over our lives, and because He is speaking them, those words don't fall to the ground and die. They don't suffer loss, but they're powerful, but only if we reach out and take hold of them. Before we look any deeper into this, I want you to remember this, that even though these guys heard the very words of Jesus telling them what was going to happen, when it happened, they lost their footing as though they had no knowledge. They all ran away. They all abandoned Jesus. And he just told them, you're all going to run away. And then they did it. How many find that kind of strange? You know, you want to go, but he told you. He told, but see, he told them in present tense. There are things that the Holy Spirit is telling us today in present tense that are going to take place in future that we cannot see, because when those things unfold in the future, we're still stuck in our present tense. Make sense? You see, the 11 were stuck in what they did and could do with Jesus physically and personally there in their midst. They heard, but they didn't hear. When he says it's expedient, it's necessary. It's necessary for you that I leave, because when I leave, I'm going to send back to you another counselor, comforter, who's going to be in you, not just with you. But you and I sitting on this side, we're going, whoa, that was so powerful what he said. But to them, their greatest imagination could not understand what it was he was trying to speak to them. So when he was led away and judged wrongfully and hung on a cross and died there, there was no correlation for them between these words that Jesus spoke and the action that was happening until he rose from the dead. And then there's a number of passages where it says basically this, and the light came on. Now see, I have a feeling that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, a light's going to come on to this generation. That everything that we have heard from Jesus, everything that he has spoken in by way of warning, everything that he has said is going to come to pass when it begins to happen, when we see it with our eyes, when we experience the very happening of Jesus, then we're going to go, oh, that's what he was talking about. Now, how many realized this morning that the disciples, the 11, could have saved themselves a lot of grief and a lot of sorrow and a lot of struggle if they would have heard the words of Jesus? Could we then take a lesson? Oh, yeah. At his resurrection, it took him even a little bit after that. Even, you know, Thomas, unless I put my hand, thrust my hand into his side and my fingers into the nail prints in his hands, I will not believe. Thomas, put your fingers, thrust your hand, stop your unbelief. And then Jesus said, greater is the one who believes without seeing than the one who has to see in order to believe. He's talking to us. Let's walk through this real quick this morning. The admonitions. It goes like this. In a little while you will see me no more, then after a little while you will see me. Again, speaking of his death, Jesus said, you will mourn while the world rejoices. He's proclaiming that they are going to be sorrowful. Were they sorrowful? Yeah. Jesus, speaking of his resurrection, said, but your grief will turn to joy. You reckon they were pretty excited when he was raised from the dead? How many, come on, help me. How many of you think that when Jesus came, the door was locked, and Jesus came into that room where they were all gathered, how many of you think they were a little excited? Yeah. Breathless, maybe? Crazed with excitement, maybe? Even the guys that walked alongside of him on the road to Emmaus, as he began to open up the scriptures and tell them, and then he broke bread right in their midst, and their eyes were open, the scripture says. And then what was the next line? Did not our hearts burn within us as we walked with him along the way? Oh! Boom! He was out of their midst. What was he looking for? He was looking for them to wake up and recognize him. I believe it's still true today, church. We need to pinch ourselves. We need to slap ourselves. We need to do whatever. We need to wake up and recognize Jesus. We need to hear the admonitions that come to us from his word. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Look around, listen. Read a little bit. You'll find out that the Spirit of the Lord is pouring out all over this earth. Has been now for 100 years since the latter rain started at the beginning of the 1900s, and the outpouring of the Spirit of God just like a flood, a washing over the world. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know, you and I don't have to go looking for any other thing other than the very words that were spoken. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And we should go, that's us. That's our day. That's the Lord speaking to us. This is the last day. See, I know even in saying it, because I have sat too many years where you sat. I grew up hearing that as a boy. I think 50, 60 years ago, I was hearing that somebody say that. But if we will think just a little bit, we will realize that just means we are 50 or 60 years closer to that moment in time that Jesus said would come. You see, this is not just sermon material. This is the reality of the Lord. Now, we can see it in the 11 because Jesus said, this is going to happen. He said, you're going to grieve when others are rejoicing. You're gonna hate what's going on because you're gonna agonize. And sure enough, when they led him away, they were separated from Jesus, and when they saw him hanging on a cross, their hearts were broken, and they cried and they wept and they wailed. And then resurrection morning came. He told them. Why are we so surprised when the word of the Lord is fulfilled? Why are we so caught off guard? Is it because we are so intent in our own lives and so content in our own lives that we cannot hear the admonition of the Lord? Listen to this. Mark this. The Holy Spirit says this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. I thought about bringing in a few television commercials for the little event that's taking place on Tuesday, and just air a few of the commercials that are going out across the airwaves and see how many of these that we could highlight just out of a couple of commercials. Boastful, proud, abusive, ungrateful, unholy, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, treacherous, rash, conceited. You see, the 11 were in the last days of Jesus' life on this earth. Actually, the last day when he spoke this to them. He was sharing with them inside information. And what I'm saying to you this morning is, we have inside information from the same Jesus as to the day that we're living. Now, those guys got to choose whether or not they believed what Jesus was saying and took it to heart and acted upon it and walked in peace. Or they could let his words just go over their heads and have to suffer. But he told them. I said that this was not only admonitions, but it was apocalyptic. Don't get too hung up with that word. The word means to uncover. Prophetic. Jesus said, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. In that day. Just like our day. Peter and John, after the resurrection and after they were filled with the Spirit of the Lord that he promised would come and be in them. They went into the gate beautiful on a particular day, and a man was there begging who could not walk. "Alms, alms," the man said. And Peter said, "Look at me. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And there have been songs written about it from that point forward. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Yeah. You and I have been given a name for the day. I said, you and I have been given a name for the day. How many have bought into the reality that these are the last days? Come on, let me see. We might as well confess it right up here. Okay. If that's true, then we should look at what equipping that the Lord has done for that day. Amen? The equipping for the day of the Lord is the power of His Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that rests upon Peter and John is the same Spirit that is needed for those who are walking in the last days of the Lord. Those who are living and working and laboring the days before Jesus was crucified on the cross have identity with those who are laboring and working the day before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can listen and learn from the Word. He says, in that day, guys, in that day, what day? When you go through the crucifixion and the resurrection. He said, you can't see it now, but when you go through it, in that day, you're going to have a name that is above every name. You're going to have a name that is more powerful than every circumstance that you encounter. You're going to have a name that you can call upon when you can't speak or utter anything else. You can say the name of Jesus, and that name will have power. It will have presence. It will have glory. It will be all over you. And he's saying to a church that is standing in the last day, you have a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They may mock Him, they may curse Him, they may use His name in vain in this day, but in the days to come, that name will be the name upon which they stand in judgment. This is the day. This is the day. We can rejoice and be glad in it. You say, but oh, Pastor, there's so much trouble going on. Yes. And he told us there would be. Just as he said to the disciples, perilous, difficult times await you. They didn't realize before that night was over that an army was going to march in and take Jesus away from them. They didn't realize that. He realized that. They didn't realize that he would be unjustly charged and that he would be led off carrying his own cross to Golgotha's hill. They didn't realize it. He recognized it. And he was telling them in advance. You see, those who belong to him, he keeps informed. But you see, we don't want to be like the 11 before the resurrection, who heard the words of Jesus, but who did not put them into practice. As a matter of fact, you see, when the when they let him off, and, well, on Saturday, between the Friday and the Sunday, while Jesus' body was laying in the tomb, their statement was, "I go fishing." Hopelessness, helplessness. Wonder what would have happened if they would have remembered and believed. You see, we don't want to be out fishing on the day, fishing for fish, on the day when we still should be fishing for men, because we're living in the day of the Lord. Help me for just a moment here. How many of you realize that the disciples on that night were clueless? I'm afraid that so much of the church today is clueless. Our hope is not set on who we elect Tuesday. I've heard Christian individuals making the proclamation that, oh my goodness, if such and such is elected on Tuesday, it's all over with. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump are not in charge of these last days. The one who spoke to the 11 at Gethsemane's entrance is the one who's still in control. Woo-hoo! I know him. Hallelujah. I don't know about him. I know him. And I'm choosing, folks, to believe him. The Apostle Paul said, "I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I set my confidence in Jesus. Because he told me exactly how I would feel. He told me exactly what was going to take place around me. And he told me, "Don't lose hope, because I've got it all under control." You see, that's the assurance of this passage. He said, in this world, you're going to have and you're going to experience tribulation, struggle, difficulties. They're going to come. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. I'm intrigued to know who's going to be elected Tuesday. But simply in my flesh. Because in my spirit, it doesn't matter a bit. Because my Lord Jesus is in control. You see, it could be that this precious country of ours is in alignment for judgment. Because we seem to be proud of the fact today that we have turned our heads and our hearts away from Jesus. So the next steps may be interesting. But whatever happens, I know the one who's in charge. Let me bring it a little closer. You see, Jesus was talking to these guys about suffering. Maybe you're suffering, and it's not politics. You're suffering with some of the stuff of this world. Money, physical situations. He said they would be here. But he said, don't lose hope. Don't let the enemy steal your peace. Because if you belong to Jesus, and many of you do, If you belong to Jesus, He's in charge. Hallelujah. So, whatever comes next will come through His hand. Do we believe that? Can you hear? To close your eyes, can you hear the voice of the Spirit of the Lord saying, troublesome times are coming, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go in through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the church. Whew. That's us. Say it. Come on. That's us. Oh my goodness, that should grab us. That's just like Jesus standing right there with the 11 and speaking right there before them. This is the same thing. Jesus, have sent my messenger to give you this testimony, the church. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Hallelujah. You see, that's the message of the last day. Whoever will, come. How many years did you fight against the Lord? Long time. I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you stand up? No, not you folks. Just this folk. Last year? Was it that you came? No. I'm not going to ask you how many years before that. Last year she met Jesus. I know by your face that everything's different, amen? Want to go back? No. You see, you heard it. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Whoever's thirsty. You see, you have something in Jesus that I couldn't give you. Something we couldn't buy or trade. But something that has changed your very life. Is that true? See, your very life has been changed. I know what joy it's brought to your daughter. And I'm certain taking your relationship to a different place as you share Jesus. Thank you. You can sit down. Thank you. I just thought you need a living, breathing testimony, folks. See, He's still changing lives today. Young ones and older ones and whosoever will. And I can't help but believe that there's maybe too many right here in this room. You know about Jesus. You have given Jesus mental assent. That is, you recognize him. But you have never let him come in. You've never believed the words that he says to the point where you believe. He wants to change me. There's not only a taking up, but there's a letting go, right? And it's not about the stuff that we let go of. It's about letting go of our will and the control over our lives. But in a powerful way, when we let go, we gain. I'm telling you this morning, you see, the one who knew that he was going to the cross, and he knew exactly what those 11 guys were going to go through. He knew it to be able to tell them on both ends of it, you're going to be sorrowful, you're going to grieve, you're going to hurt, but then in a few days you're going to rejoice. The same one that knows that is the same one that knows us today in this day of the Lord. He knows. He knows. It's going to get tough. The longer that he waits, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, the longer that he waits, the tougher it's going to get. The harder it's going to be to walk in him and to live in him. But hear this, he's given us the name. He said, you've got the name. And that with that comes the authority and the power and the glory of that name. He says you can use that name. You can come into the presence of the Father. Not because I'm going to take the words. He says you can come right into the presence of the Father and talk with him about what's going on in your life. And he will hear you because of the power in that name that you have. The longer that Jesus tarries before he returns, the tougher it's going to get. I know some people go, oh, I don't want to hear that. He told us that. Want to hear something else that he told us? He said, in that day, many will turn away from the faith. He says, as a matter of fact, if we don't step in and shorten the days, even the very elect will fall away. That should be a siren going off to every one of us. He's given us a word of warning here that in the last days there are going to be things that are going to try to steal us away from him. But he's given us the name. And if we'll lean into it, don't make the stuff of this world the priority of your life. Make Jesus the priority of your life. Because the power of this day is in the name. I'm going to walk to the gates of heaven. So I say, what right do you have? Jesus. Come on in. Do you need him this morning? Do you need his forgiveness in your life? Do you need to be changed? Do you need to be transformed? Do you need power? Do you need peace? It's all found in Jesus. Bow your heads right there where you're sitting. Please, bow your heads. I wonder if there are those in this room. You would say, Pastor Bill, the Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart. And telling me that I need to have a real relationship with Jesus. I've known about him, but I need to know him. I recognize that this is the last day, the last hour, the last moments before his return. And the Holy Spirit is drawing me this morning, and I need to make a change. If you need to make a change spiritually, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. All over the sanctuary. Come on. Yes? Yes? Are there others? You're not doing this for me. You're doing this for you. Is there anyone else?
Father in heaven, I thank you this morning as I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I pray for reality, power, presence to fill these hearts and these lives. Lord, I pray that you would help these individuals to not get hung up on what they do or what they can do or they have done or will do, but they would become hung up on you and what you have done and what you have said they can be in you. And may this be a day of transformation for them, that as they relinquish, as they let go of their own will and their own ability and their own capability and profess and confess to you the sin that is in their lives, I thank you and I praise you this morning, Lord Jesus, that you said you would forgive and you would cleanse them from all unrighteousness. As they release to you the sin of their lives, I thank you this morning that you promised to pour in forgiveness and that their lives would be different from this day forward. Release, release, release us from thinking that we could do this ourselves. Release us from trying to judge one another. Release us to trust only in you and in the name that you have given us. And may this become the most powerful hour known to mankind. Greater than the days of Moses, greater than the days of Abraham, greater than the days of David, greater than the days of Solomon, greater than the days of Elijah and Elijah, greater than the days of Daniel, greater than the days of Joseph, greater than the days of the apostles. May this be the day of the Lord as we reach out and take hold of the name that you have given us. And take hold of the truth that you have put before us. You have warned us of the hour. You told us what our emotions would be. You warned us and told us that there would even be many who would fall away. Now, God, help us as your church to come alive in this precious day that we're living. May we not get caught up in what's happening on the surface of this earth, but may we get caught up in what is happening in heaven as we are preparing to go to the place you have prepared for us. Hallelujah. And may love fill our hearts for those who are still lost, those who are still separated from you. And may we do everything in our power to gather them in, to give them your words and the word that is above every word, your precious name. God, help us. God, help us to recognize the hour. The disciples, on the day of our passage, they missed the hour that they were living. If they would have only known what was getting ready to come, they would have grabbed hold of you and wrapped themselves in your arms and would have held on to you tightly. They missed the hour. God, help us to not miss the hour that we're living in. But may we take full advantage of the power of your Holy Spirit and the name that is above every name. And let us be the church triumphant in the last day. In Jesus' name. Stand with me.